every morning. Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Aronsa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
All right, so yesterday Eskom held a meeting between the board, management and the Department of Public Enterprises, which lasted over 6 hours. And a lot of that meeting was based on trying to find a reason behind the unexpected load shedding from this past Sunday. Today, of course, we are in day three. They've found the reasons for it and they've held a crisis meeting. That escalation surprising many as well, as they had 7 generating units tripping within a period of 5 hours. It has seen that 4 of those units had returned to service, and it is expected that the remaining 3 will be back. There will be a systems and an operations update within the next 24 hours. But now we're hosting this crisis meeting. Yes, the board, management, the Department of Public Enterprises hosting this 6-hour meeting. But do we think anything will come out of it? Will we just go back to things as they normally are? Roger Lilly, energy analyst at EE Publishers as well, joining us on the line. Roger, thank you so much for your time. This is just a case of, yes, fine, we'll host this meeting and hope for the best, and nothing really to be done after this.
Good morning, Arabile, and your listeners. One gets the sense that the Eskom team, who know what's going on, are not telling the people who need to know what's going on. Mm. That's the sense that I'm getting. The problem with load shedding is the fact that the equipment is failing, and it's failing because maintenance has been deferred or not done properly. You know that they had this big festival of maintenance last year when senior managers were told that they couldn't go on leave. Do you remember in December? But obviously things weren't done properly because it must have been a sort of a hit and miss affair, because now suddenly here we are in February, only 2 months after the maintenance, and look, we have load shedding again, equipment failing, which is a very grave concern.
At the same time, we've gotten word that Medupi and Kusile, which were, of course, intended to alleviate South Africa's power constraints, have a multitude of serious design and technical flaws that are impeding their operation. Wasn't the whole point then of those two, as I just said, supposed to aid South Africa? It seems to be doing more harm than any good.
Yeah, no, you're right. Look, Eskom's mistake, of course, was doing 2 mega projects simultaneously when they did not have the manpower or the skills to do it. So I think that was a bit of pride, and it's the old story, pride comes before a fall. And the other thing with Medupi and Kusile is they are so unique. They are specially designed for South Africa. They don't exist anywhere else. So there's no other reference point. The design has been done and it's been built according to that design. Now it comes out, oh, well, there were mistakes in the design, and now we're trying to find workarounds around the design. And of course that just delays everything. It costs a fortune. So not only are we spending a great deal of money on Medupi and Kusile, probably twice as much as originally, maybe more, but we're also losing billions of rand every day that we have load shedding, because the economy takes a nasty knock when equipment gets turned off, when factories can't run.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about just a multitude of different segments of South Africa's economy that suffer just at the helm of load shedding. They've put the blame squarely on Japanese conglomerate Mitsubishi Hitachi Power Systems, saying then that, you know, this is also not the first time that their work at Medupi in particular has been found to be defective. In 2013, 10,000 welding faults were discovered when Hitachi failed to heat treat the welds. In 2015, they failed a crucial steam test as well. Should we just be changing those suppliers or that company as well? Or is it just a case of we're lazy to work through these processes?
Well, I think the reality is that, firstly, I think you're going to find difficulty finding someone else to come along and patch up some, you know, Mitsubishi Hitachi's mistakes. Which other company are going to come alongside and want to do it? They're going to want to strip things down and rebuild. It's going to take even longer. Secondly, I think Mitsubishi Hitachi are contractually bound to finish the job and to finish it according to the specifications given to them. So yes, it certainly is egg on their face. It's a very bad reputation. But it doesn't solve our problem. Our problem is that those plants are not producing the electricity that we're supposed to have by now. So, you know, Eskom has to really come up with something special. And I'm beginning to think that some years ago, an offer was made by a Turkish company which would provide a power ship, which would come alongside, park at a South African port, and connect up to the grid and provide electricity within a week. And that would relieve the load on some of the generating plants, which they could then start taking out of service and do proper maintenance and get them back up reliably. Because all that's happening, in, from what I can see, is a binary effect. We take equipment offline to service it, but the equipment that's left can't manage the additional load, and so you get another one trip out, and then, of course, that gets worse and worse until you get this domino effect. That's why we had six fall out all at once.
Yeah, we haven't spoken to you about this, but your thoughts then, very finally, just on the splitting up of Eskom into those three. Will that help? Is that privatization through the back door, as NUMSA says? And will it get, you know, get the systems hopefully up and running and add accountability?
My opinion is that by splitting it up, I think we'll have better visibility and possibly accountability as to what's going on in each of the three sections. I don't think enough focus has been put onto the generating section of Eskom from outside the utility by the Ministry of Public Enterprises. I think they are simply told everything's okay, don't worry, when it isn't, and they believe it. And I think more independent, perhaps completely independent, private consultants maybe need to be brought in to give update reports on a regular basis to the minister of what's really going on, and not what Eskom wants them to hear, but what the reality is, because then we can predict this ahead of time.
Roger Lilly, energy analyst at EE Publishers, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it, man.